Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 95.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Kelly and I just took our toilet break in between recording episodes, and I had to point this out because this just totally random thing happened. I've got my back door open and I went to the toilet and then went to go back into my bedroom where I record the podcast, and there's a bird poo in the middle of my lounge room floor. So a bird has flown into my house, taken a dump on my floor and left again.
That has to be spectacular good luck, right? Because if a bird poops on you, that's good luck. If a bird goes to the trouble of going into your living room to poo, surely that is spectacular good luck.
It's not even like right in the door frame. It's smack bang in the middle of the room. Comfortable. Far out.
Chose its spot. So,
Just to start the episode off with a lovely little poo story. So as we've been doing last season and this season, we're going to kick off with one of the lovely reviews we've received from our beautiful listeners. So this one comes from Matwick2207. And this person says, I wanted to keep improving myself but didn't have 2 hours a pop to listen to a Tim Ferriss epic. I have 2 young kids, damn it. That's why I love Straight and Curly. Grounded, insightful advice on everything from relationships to untethering ourselves from smartphones. And short, can easily fit in an episode while putting my child to sleep.
That means Matwick, I don't know if you're male or female, but I can see that you are sitting on the floor next to your child's bed while they fall asleep, because I've been there and I've done that, and I'm glad that our podcast is helping you do that more easily. Also, anybody who wants to put us in the same sentence as Tim Ferriss and say that we're better is totally all right.
Yes.
Okay, so Carl, I'm so excited about today's show because we are basically going to be discussing my favorite hobby.
Yes. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about how to get all that crap out of your house. I feel like a year or two ago, everyone went full minimalist and threw everything away. I know I did. And I moved house last year and threw heaps of stuff out again. But somehow I'm finding myself drowning in shit again. So, I mean, compared to other people, I'm not really, but I live in a house that's far bigger than my little one bedroom flat, but somehow it feels still full of stuff, which just doesn't make any sense at all. So this episode is more for me than anyone else, although I've seen some conversation on decluttering happening in the Facebook group. So revisiting this topic is a good one.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be an ongoing thing. I do have to say I have a slight discomfort around this topic with regard to the fact that, you know, when we're telling people to get rid of stuff, quite often getting rid of stuff involves throwing it away, because not everything can go to Good Sammy's. Not everything can be recycled. Not everything can be used. A lot of it does.
Did you just say Good Sammy's?
Yeah. What do you have?
What's Good Sammy's?
What are your kind of charity shops in Melbourne? Really?
We have like Vinnie's and Salvo's.
Oh, right. We have Vinnie's and Salvo's, but we have Good Sammy's, the Good Samaritans.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think we've got those here. Oh. I've never seen them. That's interesting.
Well, there you go. Good Sammy's. I was like, shops, yeah, sure. Charity good shops. Sammy's. Whichever. But anyway, not everything can go to those people. So a lot of the stuff that we are getting rid of does go into landfill. So I guess I just want to preface this episode by saying, look, we are aware of this. There's not really any way to get around it other than learning to
stopping buying shit in the first place.
To stop bringing stuff into your house that then needs to be gotten rid of. So that kind of is, we're aware of that, but ultimately you have to get rid of stuff first and then just be more aware of what you're bringing into the house. So I think Carly's tips are more around getting rid of stuff and mine are more around being aware or limiting what you bring into the house. So Carl's, you go with number one.
So my first tip is to use up all the stuff. So I've put myself on a buying ban of beauty products. I've actually not bought beauty products for several years now because as a blogger, I get sent lots of stuff and I try to use all the stuff I get sent, which means that I probably don't have to buy moisturizer until like, you know, until I'm 50. I've taken myself off all of those lists and asked people to stop sending me things unless they ask me first. So, I'm not on any of those lists anymore, which is great because some companies were sending me 20 lipsticks every quarter. God. Which is impossible to use and also quite impossible to give away because I'd have to send them to people. And I ended up donating a lot of them to those charities for women with cancer and also those charities where they set women up for job interviews and things. Yeah. So a lot of that stuff went there. But I've taken myself off all those lists anyway, so it's not a big thing. But I'm including lip glosses and lipsticks, and I've also got 3 face cleansers on the go, and I just refuse to buy a new one until they're all gone. And to be fair, I don't use a lot of products, but they do tend to pile up if I'm not careful about it. You can also do this thing with, you know, kitchen sauces and spices and cans of stuff in your cupboard. So I currently have like a half finished jar of hair wax that I've decided isn't that great. And it's not CG approved, the curly girl method I spoke about last episode. It's not approved, guys. It's not approved. But the thing is that I've been using it for 6 months and my hair's fine. And there's no point in stopping using it to replace it with something that might not necessarily be better. So I'm just waiting until it's finished. And I'm making sure that I'm not consistently looking for that perfect product that's going to fix all the things because it doesn't exist. So if I use a product, if it gives me a rash, obviously I won't use it. But if it's doing 90% of what it's supposed to do and the only reason why I want to get rid of it is because I believe something else is better, tough cookies. I'm going to use the rest of whatever is left over. So just only use up exactly what you have and then only purchase when your shelf is empty to avoid a buildup of stuff you'll never use.
Yes. And speaking of shelves, that leads neatly into my first tip, which is what I call the empty shelf principle. So I actually wrote a blog post about this once and you can find it by Googling Kelly Exeter empty shelf. I love Google. It makes things so easy. So the principle is this. So when your shelves are full or your drawers are full or just even have something in, it's easy to add more to it. So it's kind of like if you picture an empty sink, like when you look at an empty sink, unless you are a real a-hole, who looks at an empty sink and goes, oh yeah, I'll just casually drop something in there. Like it gives you pause. Whereas when there's there's already like a dish in the sink, it's very easy to then add another dish and another dish. And then before you know it, the sink is overflowing. And the same thing happens with shelves and with, you know, any kind of storage or container. Like if there's something in there already, it's very easy to add stuff until it's overflowing. And then you add more to the next shelf. So what I found was I kind of try to maintain where practical and possible an empty shelf in every set of shelving unit that I have, in every single cupboard in the house, in every set of drawers, I try to maintain an empty drawer. And what this kind of does, it means like when all the other shelves get full or when the drawers get full and it's time to now add something to the empty drawer, I just can't do it. And because I'm like, I can't sully the empty drawer or the empty shelf. And it just kind of, all it does is it gives me pause. You know, it just makes me go, do I really need this thing? Or if this thing's going to come in, maybe something should go out before I bring this, you know. So just rather than summarily adding, it just, it forces you to be a bit more intentional and take a bit of thought before you add more stuff. So that's my empty shelf principle. Yes.
My number 2 is to play the minimalist game. So if you just go to theminimalists.com/game, I did this a few years ago and it was awesome. So it's basically a month of getting rid of stuff. So on the first day, you get rid of one thing. On the second day, you get rid of 2. Third day, 3, until the end of the month where you're at the 30th day of the month and you have to get rid of 30 things. And you'd think that's really hard, but when you think about all of the stuff in your kitchen that you don't use, like measuring cups that you haven't touched in ages, shoes you haven't worn, underwear that you pick up, put on, decide it gives you a wedgie, yeah. take it off again, put it in the drawer, all of that kind of stuff. And this is it, like we keep coming back to the whole, there's no way you throw things into landfill. And you know what? Occasionally you are going to buy some undies that aren't comfortable and you couldn't do much about that. But they're going to be uncomfortable in your drawer or uncomfortable in landfill. You can't do anything. You can't give away old underwear. No. So there's some things that you just have to be a grown up about and just go, you know what? This was a poor purchase, and they happen. Even the best in, like, people who have the best intentions make shitty purchases sometimes. Get over it, chuck them in the bin, and maybe keep a note of things that you've bought that you haven't used and that you've gotten rid of. But yeah, it's such a great way to get rid of all that stuff that's cluttering up your house that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, definitely. And I wonder, yeah, I might talk about that at the end of episode and maybe try and do a challenge in the group. My second tip is to not create more storage. I know this sounds weird because I know there's people out there who have houses that have no storage and it drives them crazy. I'm not talking to you guys. You did need to have a certain amount of storage in your house, but
I also find that offensive, Kelly, because I love storage. I love boxes and I love drawers and I love going to Muji and looking at all of their little custom things that you can put all your stuff in. Love it.
But the thing is, the more storage you have, the more stuff you have. It's just, it's an absolute rule of life. So when we were building this house, we had this roof space that if we wanted to have storage in that roof space to put stuff that, you know, never gets used in there, but, you know, might get used one day. And we're having real trouble accessing, like creating the access to that roof space. And we're going to have to put like this dodgy little, you know, door, mini little door in Mia's room in the wall. And I was like, hang on a second. This is a brand new house. Every bedroom has built-in robes. All our cabinetry, there is considerable cabinetry in the laundry and the kitchen. We have linen cupboard. We have a utility cupboard. We have a garage. We do not need roof space storage. This is not a tiny house. This is a regular sized house. And I said to Ant, if it ever gets to the point where we're like, oh, we really wish we had that roof storage space, that means we need to get rid of stuff. It doesn't mean we need more storage. So, yeah, just be aware of the storage trap of the more storage you have, the more stuff you will keep be considered in how many shelving units and sets of drawers and stuff that you create, because it might just be easier just to get rid of stuff than to create storage to put it in.
I like that. You're so sensible. So my number three is to get rid of everything on this list. So this is a list that I wrote a while ago when I did a decluttering challenge on Smaggle, and it's all the stuff that you aren't quite sure what to do with but that you need to get rid of because it's just not serving any purpose. So you need to get rid of irredeemable, crusty plastic containers. If every time you go to the cupboard and you pick up a container and go, ew, no, that's got scuzz on it, and you put it back in the cupboard, throw it away. Just get rid of it. Like if it's disgusting and you don't want to touch it and you don't want to put your food in it, get rid of it and replace it with some beautiful, lovely glass Pyrex. Yeah. Containers.
Yeah.
Fondue sets. And when I say fondue sets, I mean any weird single use cooking item that you never ever use. Just get rid of it. Board games with bits missing, university assignments you can't remember writing, broken furniture, novelty sunglasses that you wore for 20 seconds on New Year's Eve in the year 2000. More than one cocktail shaker. No one needs more than one. The amount of people that I have helped move and I've been like, which of these seven cocktail shakers do you want? And they'll be like, oh, all of them. And I'll be like, I've never seen you make a cocktail ever, ever. You need one cocktail shaker because you can only, like, you only have one set of hands. So yeah, oh, make me so angry. The empty box from the laptop that you haven't owned in 10 years, invitations to parties that are over, all of those stained mugs that no one wants to use because they're gross, CDs and DVDs that haven't touched in decades. Just, I mean, you don't, if you still listen to CDs and DVDs, go for it. Keep them. There's many digital options I can help you to learn how to use if you would like to get them out of your life. That's fine. But if you have already stopped watching DVDs and CDs, get rid of them. You don't need them. Rollerblades. VCRs, boxes of taped off the radio cassette tapes. So we don't need those anymore. We're done. Single socks, unnecessary multiples of anything, expensive high heels that are completely unwearable. So if you bought a pair of high heels and you spent a shit ton of money on them, and every time you wear them for 2 seconds and you take them off, get them out of your house, donate them to charity, sell them. You don't need those. Hard copies of bills that have been paid online, stop having them sent to your house for a start. Also very expensive and unused expired beauty products. If you have a jar of face cream that expired in 2007, that shit's going to melt your skin off. Like, just no, get it out. And also stupid novelty shit like life-size cardboard cutouts of Brad Pitt's brother. Remember when he was on that ad? Like, the amount of people who ended up with like that cardboard cutout of Brad Pitt's brother in their house because they thought it was funny. It's not funny. Throw it away. We're over it now. Just get it out. Just go.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my big convoluted tip three. Yeah.
My tip three is to do a weekly declutter. This is like my favorite part of the week.
You're such a nerd.
So look, the one place in our house where stuff accumulates is my kids' playroom, because my kids attract crap. They create crap, like, as in they create art. It's not crap, it's art. But there's just only so much art that we can keep or take pictures of or et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, my kids produce. They're productive kids. They produce art. And then they just stuff it on the shelves in their playroom. And then they just attract all other crap, you know, like little things from kids' meals at restaurants or, you know, novelty things at Wildcats games or anyway, before I throw some of the crap I just throw out, because if they see it, they'll just decide it's the most precious thing to them ever, even though it's this tiny little bit of plastic that they haven't used in 2 weeks. But some of the stuff I keep, and I say to them, see this thing that you took from the Wildcats game or from that random person at the shops who was handing out stuff. You played with this for exactly 2 minutes and then you just threw it on the floor of the playroom and then you stuffed it on the shelf of the playroom and it was time to clean up. And now this is going in the bin, which is going to landfill. You guys need to be more discerning about what you take from people. And they haven't got it yet. They're only 8 and 4, but they're slowly getting it. And I just figure if I just keep planting the seed about, if you take this thing, think about where it's going to end up. Hopefully somewhere down the track, it's going to get to them. But yeah, every single Thursday, I go through the shelves of their playroom and I throw out all the crap and it just keeps a lid on the clutter in there. So there will be one spot in every house. Doesn't matter if you have kids or not, there's always that one spot where crap just accumulates, whether it's that dodgy bottom drawer in the kitchen or whether it's that corner of the kitchen where you throw keys and invitations and all that stuff. Go through that.
We call ours the station.
The station, yeah. Everybody's got the station. Go through the station once a week and throw out the crap so that you do not, because eventually the station is going to get so big and overwhelming that you just can't even deal with it. Just do it in small bits and you'll be amazed at, how much better you feel at looking at that particular spot of your house and not having it overflow with rubbish, on a constant basis. Yeah.
My tip number 4 is that if you struggle to part with things, tell yourself these 2 things. The money is already wasted. So unless it's an antique, holding onto an item you never use does not increase its value. So it just makes you sadder about wasting the money. So if I know I've made a poor purchasing decision, I will let go of it so much sooner than anyone else because I don't like feeling sad while I look at it. Actually, side rant, while we're talking about this, Ben's family have a farm that's near Jeroa, so near like one of the most beautiful beaches in New South Wales, and I really like paddleboarding and I really want to have a paddleboard at the farm so that I can go to the beach and go paddleboarding. Now, paddleboards are about $1,000, which I think is crazy because they're basically just like a surfboard. I don't understand why surfboards can be like
– stable surfboard that Kelly falls off and twists her knee. Flashbacks.
Exactly. But I'm like, how is it really that different to a surfboard? Anyway, I don't really want to spend $1,000 on one, so I keep looking for secondhand ones on Gumtree. I'm like, surely someone's bought a paddleboard and no longer uses it. But there's none of them because people buy them don't use them and refuse to sell them because they're like, oh no, I didn't waste $1,000. I'm definitely going to paddleboard one day, even though they've got this beautiful paddleboard sitting in their garage that they haven't used in 10 years. And I want to buy it and no one will put any of them on Gumtree. Like I can't find a secondhand one and I want one so badly. And it's just really hard to get, but it's because people are so stubborn about holding on to their pride when they've spent a lot of money on a thing. So that's another option. You can sell things too. So if you bought a $1,000 paddleboard and never ended up paddleboarding, perhaps you could put it on Gumtree for people who do want to paddleboard.
And then send Carly the link, please.
Yes, that would be lovely. And number two is that if you haven't used it in more than a year, you probably won't.
Yes, I fully agree with that. And that kind of neatly segues into my wardrobe edit suggestion, which is the easiest way to do a wardrobe edit is to move all your clothing for a given season. So summer, you know, it's either the warm clothes season or the cold clothes season, one of those two. Move all your clothing for a given season somewhere else, like, you know, the cupboard in your kid's room or just wherever, somewhere that's not your cupboard. And each item only moves back into your wardrobe when you actually use it. And then at the end of the season, you can safely give away the items that you did not use. I think that's a great way of doing a wardrobe edit. It's also a great way of dealing with that random drawer in the kitchen that has all those weird utensils that, again, only ever get used once. So put all those items in a box in the garage or somewhere and only move them back to the drawer when you use it. And give it 6 months. And if you have not used it in 6 months, give it away.
Because I read Sarah Wilson's book. She's got a really good one that came out recently. It's called like Simplicious.
I think.
Simplicious. Yeah. It's a really, really good book because she does lots of stuff about no waste cooking and making sure that you're eating, you know, all the different parts of the animal. And, you know, because I am a meat eater, but I like to be conscious about it. And so she's got some really good concepts and guidelines for eating meat without feeling like a complete asshole. I've completely lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that?
Wardrobe edit, giving things away. I don't know.
Oh my God, no. I just totally tapped out of that thought.
Well, go into your number five because it's all about reframing your thinking. So maybe that will jostle your mind.
Maybe it will. I'll come back to that, guys. Sorry, you know when you just have a total brain fart and you're like, wow, that was a really good point.
I had no idea where I was going with this.
No. Oh no, I almost had it, but then it's gone again. Sorry, guys. So number five is to reframe your thinking. So I refuse all packaging and freebies now, and I've done this for years. So I bought new sneakers on the weekend and I took them out of the box in the store and left the box on the counter. And the sales guy thought I was really, really weird, but I was like, oh, I don't need the box and the packaging in my house.
Yeah, I do like, that too. And they just look at you as if like, what are you doing?
They think it's really weird.
And I'm like, I've just not taking crap home and you can use that box again for someone else.
Exactly. And I have these string eco bags that I designed for Crochet Coach. So if anyone's actually interested in learning how to make their own eco bags, there's a pattern for it on Crochet Coach and all the beginner things that you need to make it. I'm just saying this because like I designed this bag and I don't want to blow my own horn, but it is the best thing I've ever designed. It's so freaking good. It just like folds up inside itself. I always have a couple in my bag with me. And so when I go shopping, I've always got one in my bag. And then when I buy shoes, I just put them in my string bag and then, you know, take it with me. So it's like, and they're so strong and they just last. You can carry wine bottles in them. They're just amazing. I'm brilliant, basically.
You are brilliant.
And it's the same with things like promotional mugs and backpacks and goodie bags. So if someone hands me a goodie bag at an event, because I get invited to events and things, I'm not ashamed about this. I will look in the goodie bag and if it's full of crap, I will just leave it on a chair. And I won't take it with me. So I say fuck politeness. Just be bold and loud about how you don't want to accumulate crap. And if someone hands you a big bag of crap at an event, just chuck it under a chair and book it the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Don't take it with you.
And if you're organizing events, be considered about what you're giving away to people and what you're putting in goodie bags. And if you even really need a goodie bag, like we, Brooke, Alex and I did a Simple Way event last year and the venue was trying to give everybody a pen and a pad. And it wasn't that kind of event where you need a pen and a pad. And so we kind of said no. And we did have goodies there, but we didn't have a bag and all the goodies were kind of sustainable kind of things that people could actually use as opposed to, you know, just pieces of paper that people would chuck away when they got home. So we tried to be very, because we wanted to give things away to people, and there were samples there, but they were as environmentally sound as we could make them, and we were quite considerate about how we went about it. So just, yeah, if you're an event organizer, rather than, yeah, mindlessly going, yes, we'll make a bag and we'll chuck heaps of stuff in there and just ask whoever wants to give us something to put something in, try and be a bit more considerate about what you're going to send people home with.
I love that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so my final thing is to get to know your neighbors. So we don't have a ladder at home, but our neighbor does. So we don't need to get a ladder because we know we can go down, you know, to the bottom of the cul-de-sac and borrow Peter's whenever we need to. I needed sandpaper the other day. I texted another neighbor and they had some. So it was great. I didn't have to go to the shops to, you know, didn't have to make a special trip to the shops. I didn't have to buy five different types of sandpaper to get it right. I just borrowed it from my neighbor. It was great. So I think it's good if you either have family members close by or if you know your neighbors, like kind of get together, figure out what you all have that each other needs and just, yeah, open the invite to say, look, if you ever need this thing, just knock on the door and borrow it. Because then that way we don't have five leaf blowers in every single garage that gets used like twice a year, you know? So, and I just think it's a good way to avoid running out to buy those big ticket but one-off or very seldomly used kind of items that usually sit in garages. Yeah, and I also, it's a nice way to get to know the people that live around you. So, yeah.
I remembered my thought, so I'm just going to go back to my thought because it's a good thought, I promise. So in this book, Simplicious, she has this concept of if you're looking, like if you're going to buy ingredients for a recipe and you get to the shops and it says you need pink grapefruit and you get to the shops and there's no pink grapefruit because it's out of season, she's like, just use something else.
Yeah.
Like just find something else that you can use. That's the thing. So like if you're going to make a cake and you need a special cake tin, just improvise and use something else. Or if you're going to, you know, wrap someone's present and you've decided it needs to be covered in tinsel and bullshit, just use whatever's lying around the house. Like I think we've lost it with all of the advances in manufacturing and, you know, China being in charge of a lot of that and making a lot of stuff really cheap in Australia, has actually just made us too spoiled and too.
It's too easy to buy all these things, isn't it? And these one-off kind of things.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we need to get back into our make do mentality and stop just buying things whenever we think we need them and think, hey, you know, I'm going to a wedding and I don't like any of the things in my cupboard. Maybe I could get this dress altered or maybe I could ask my friend to borrow a dress. There's actually, so Nikki from Styling You has this amazing gold sequined t-shirt dress that just fits me like a freaking dream. And twice a year she would send it to me in Melbourne so I can wear it to a wedding.
Yeah.
No shit. I've borrowed it like six times from her.
And there's places that you can, yeah, borrow like, yeah, hire dresses like that. Like, you know, dresses that would cost you $600 to $1,000 to buy, you can hire them for like $150 or $200 for that one-off kind of thing. So it's not this, there's not this price per wear of $1,000 sitting in your cupboard going, oh my God, I don't have anywhere else to wear this thing. And I love that. Exactly. I had a dress of a friend's that I borrowed. I borrowed it so many times she ended up giving it to me. It was such a killer dress. I loved it. So yeah, definitely I love the idea of, yeah, borrowing and getting to know what people have and, yeah, approaching it in that way. I mean, even things like my son needed a new bike because his bike was too small for him. And I like all my friends are triathletes. So they, you know, and they all have kids and they all have older kids. So I'm like, I just know that one of my friends is going to have a bike in their garage that's just sitting there. And it's, you know, it's not brand new, but it doesn't need to be. And it's just sitting there, but it'll be a good quality bike that I can buy off them rather than going to the bike shop and buying a brand new bike that does not, you know, and paying full price for it. So I think just choosing the option to throw it out there and go, has anybody got like this thing that I need? I'm happy to take it off your hands for whatever price. Yeah, take stuff out of people's garages before going and buying a new one, if is what I'm saying. And
definitely.
Yeah,
and I think that just about – oh, sorry.
No, yeah.
We're cutting each other off.
Let's wrap this up together.
That just – Yay, twins. So that just about wraps up our episode for today. Don't forget we do have a book available. You can get it at straightandcurly.com and just click the book tab. We've also got a Patreon account.
Finally, yes, we did set that up late last year and we have two goals for that Patreon account. We would love, the first goal, we won't even go into the second goal. The first goal is just to get to $500 a month of pledges because this will just help us to cover the cost of producing the show.
And we're getting pretty bloody close.
Yeah. I think we're a quarter of the way there. So if you love listening to the show and you want to support it, please just visit patreon.com/straightandcurly.
I'd also like to thank our newest patrons, Rachel, Vanessa, and Erin. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Rachel, Vanessa, and Erin. And yes, so weekly challenge. I reckon we should try the minimalist game. Have you done it too recently to be able to do it again, or are you up for it?
No, God, no. I did it like maybe 3 years ago. I'm well up for doing it again.
Okay. I reckon when this episode comes out, we will, throw it out there to the group and we will see if you guys want to play the minimalist game and we will get going with that. Until then, see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.